people hear fame and fortune. Surely you're in politics for fame and fortune. You're not. It's more infamy and poverty, to be honest.
You're listening to Humans of Politics, a podcast about how it feels to be a politician. My name is A.B. Philbin Bowman, and my guest today is the Fine Gael Senator Neil Richmond.
I'm from a family of the youngest of four kids, and our family didn't do party politics, but my late father was treasurer of the Residents Association. He was on the parish vestry. He was president of the rugby club. He was a member of about 10 other things. My mum did loads of things like that. She was secretary of the bridge club. She was at every sports match we ever played, every school concert. My siblings are the exact same. They're older than me. They've got kids in school now. They are on every committee. So even though it's not party political, it's that involvement in everything kind of, it really is the background to how I've ended up where I am.
You're clearly bright. You had a comfortable upbringing. You had the privilege of a good education. There are a ton of professions you could have chosen to go into, business, the law, banking. Why the hell did you choose a job where you are on call 24/7, people come to you with their problems all day, and the general public view is, you're all the same, you're all in it for yourselves?
It really interests me. They say, find a job that you're interested in, you won't work a day in your life. Now, don't get me wrong, it's hard work, it's long hours. No one ever sees the rewards of politics. They think we're only in it for elections. The salary's not great. All my friends earn more money than me. And I know that sounds terrible to a lot of people out there, but I earn a good salary and I don't really think about it. I don't even know what I actually earn. It just about pays the mortgage. But the rewards aren't getting elected. It's stuff that people, you'll say it and they go like, that's very twee, isn't it? And you go like, no, when you have a 70 or 80 year old woman crying because you got a pothole fixed, you do get that buzz. It doesn't matter if you are a councillor or a Taoiseach, that's what it comes back to, trying to make people's lives a little bit easier, a little bit better. I actually think every politician goes into politics for the same reason, regardless of ideology. They want to make people's lives a bit easier. We just want to do it in very different ways.
What kind of impact does politics have on your family life?
I was asked to run for the European elections, a few people suggested to me, and there was just no way I could do that because I didn't want to be away from home three nights a week. It's a selfish decision, you know, maybe you should put the interest first and have done it. And I was trying to say that to rural colleagues, and they go like, we do that every week. And I have a 15-month-old son, so it was very pronounced for me. But then I have a rural colleague who's an 18-month-old set of twins, and he does it every day. Like, you hear a lot of people say tweet comments like, you can never get that time back. And after a while, after a couple of months, I said, you know what, I'm actually going to take them serious about that. So I hate to say it, I'm a politician that admits I don't work Monday mornings because my wife is just easing her way back into the workplace. She had and was very open about it. She had a terrible dose of postnatal depression, which anyone who's seen any sort of mental health illness, but especially postnatal, when it's meant to be this really joyful time. So easing her back in the workplace, I had to go like, I'm not coming into Leinster House on a Monday morning. I'm going to be a working dad. And same with Saturday mornings. She works Saturday mornings as well. There's limits. So when I know there's other politicians that are very strict, they keep Sunday free. And that's it. You have to be really, really rigid. I used to get up really early and make sure I was in. But the Shannon doesn't start till 10:30. I don't need to be in there for 8:30. Rather than spend an hour and a half in rush hour traffic or traipsing in on the Lewis, I'd much rather go in when it's light traffic and spend those 2 hours with my son, with my wife, because I can, because you work huge hours. Like, technically, I have worked for the last 11 days. I haven't, like, I've done something political. Like Sunday, I was doing the week in politics. That it's not just the hour you're on, it's a couple hours of preparation. And then it's very interesting when you come in from doing something like that, your mood is defined by how you get on in the show or how you happen in the chamber. Sometimes you can come in like a bear, and it doesn't matter if you've been beaten up by a very good presenter or a political opponent. You got to change a nappy, you got to change a nappy. If you got to play peekaboo, you got to park it. If your wife is covered in lots of different baby stuff and trying to cook dinner, and you come in and go like, I need to get some headspace, I'm sorry, that's the most selfish thing you can do. I'm lucky, great family network nearby. We lean on it, my wife leans on it. All politicians lean on their family. That's very interesting when you talk about the people who are hidden from this is the family of politicians. So a very active Twitter account, I get dog's abuse. And I get my sister ringing up going, are you okay? Rangers 1992 bot in Glasgow has called you everything under the sun. And I was like, yeah, I just mute or block them. But my family doesn't know they can mute or block them too. And they see their little brother, and I am considerably younger than the rest of my family, getting called really horrible personal things. I'm called Euro Shrek by the IRA exit movement. And that impacts my family. They'll be out having a drink, having dinner, and one of their friends will say, your little brother's an absolute so-and-so. And it's generally people they know. It's a work colleague. It's someone who knows that they're related.
And why do you think the public has such a negative view of politicians?
Look, unfortunately, you look through the history of politics, in every country, there's always bad eggs. And if someone is having a really bad day, struggling to get the mortgage payment done, you know, maybe lost their job, not going on holiday this year, can't afford to get filling in the dentist, who are they going to blame? And the most obvious person is, well, the person who voted for the tax hike, and going like, well, look at you, you're on a big salary, and sure, we look in the chamber and you're never there. It's a perverse thing to do. You put your face and your name on lampposts around the country. You run a social media page as if you're not a celebrity's the wrong word, but a public figure. You know, and people go like, you must get a kick out of that. Well, one, it just becomes a wall of noise. The first thing you realise in a politician is you ignore posters instantly. You don't get that that's your face. You don't, oh, there's you on the news. Yeah, but you're on the news. That's what your job is. But people think that, well, you must do it because people hear fame and fortune. Surely you're in politics for fame and fortune. You're not. It's more infamy and poverty, to be honest. I don't want to play the woe is me. I know we do very well compared to the average wage, but you don't live a mad, lavish lifestyle. You really don't. You can look at my car if you want to believe that. But the fame isn't, it isn't fame. It's far from it. And I don't have that level of notoriety. And I look at colleagues and friends like the Taoiseach or Minister Murphy, who are really high profile. They can't necessarily go to the toilet on their own on a night out. Sometimes they'll have to have a pal go with them just so someone doesn't corner them. Like, literally, that is the ultimate boundary.
You mentioned the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and Housing Minister Owen Murphy there. And one of the charges that's been levelled at all three of you is that you're privileged men, you don't understand life on the breadline. How does it feel to have who you are as a person politicised?
People don't know what's going on behind any window. They don't know who's battling with what. They don't know who's had to deal with maybe bereavements, sectarianism, racism. People don't know that I was unemployed for three periods during the crisis. And how could you possibly be unemployed? You went to a fee-paying school. Surely you were born with that silver spoon in the mouth. They don't stop to question that maybe your parents worked two jobs and they sent you to a school for a very different reason. You don't choose where you go to school. It's just where you come out of. But against all that, I know I'm really, really lucky. I know I was very fortunate with a great set of parents, brilliant family members, and a grounding that has allowed me do what I really enjoy doing, and I get a great reward out of. But where I grew up doesn't define my politics. I didn't join Fine Gael because I'm from Ballantyre. I actually went to join the Labour Party initially, and I went in and the meeting was about Ireland should leave the EU, so obviously we're going to lose me at hello. It's a real English stereotype because they have such an obsession with the class stereotype, and that is an issue for them. I don't think it's the issue here. But the rise of certain social media and certain approaches in, let's call it the British influence over our print presses, they want to get into that easy narrative that someone must be posh and therefore they can't understand what it is to really struggle to pay the mortgage. I know what it's like to miss a rent payment. It's really scary. Just because you come from a certain background doesn't mean that you're not as exposed to others. Indeed, you could possibly be even more exposed because you don't want to let people know that in my first year as a senator, I was living in my in-law's spare room. You know, I had to sell my car because I needed to pay off some election debt. And that's, I'm not looking for sympathy, far from it, but it's just clarifying it. People just assume because of an accent, because of where you're from, you must be just doing this as a plaything. And surely you're a secret millionaire. And surely you live in a mansion. Yeah, you work hard and manage to buy a house. You know, most people do that. That's what you do. I'm 36, I'm married with a kid, and I have a job. I'm very, very lucky, but it didn't just fall in my lap. I speak with a Dublin accent, so therefore, how dare you talk about the beef sector? I worked in international trade for 4 years. My granddad was a beef farmer. My dad worked in the agri sector. I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert, but I'm allowed read the farming section of the Irish Independent and not be mocked. The term I despise is the term West Brit. And people look at me, I'm Church of Ireland, I played cricket, I play rugby. They love to call me West Brit. And my mother raised me to say that is the equivalent of being called an Uncle Tom. It really is something that, and people say it in such a jokey manner. And I was like, hold on now, you know what the connotations of that historically meant, but you move past that. But one thing I really hate is when someone talks about your physical features. You know, I used to be a lot bigger. Like, I remember someone goes to you, by the look of you, you can tell you're a typical greedy politician. You're like, who gives anyone the right to say that about anyone? And it happens to all politicians. You know, they'll criticise someone for having a suntan. They'll criticise someone for not combing their hair in the morning. And it happens across the board. And I really, really hate when people pick on the personality, the individual, because that's what maybe not hurts the person the most, really does hurt their loved ones. That's really unfair. And
finally, I know you're involved in the Irish parliamentary rugby team.
Yeah.
What do you get out of that?
It's a great leveller. Like, I never thought I'd be sharing a shower with a Sinn Féin TD. But once you've done that, all of a sudden, you don't get as nasty to each other. You just realise we have something in common. You know, we can always bring it back to, did you see the match? We play the Commons and Lords every year. I can go over to Westminster tomorrow and I'll have 10 guys who will meet me for coffee, who will bring me into Westminster, who will sit me down and say, look, don't worry, no one's out here to get you if they even know who you are. You've always got a friend.
Neil Richmond, thank you so much. Thanks for listening to Humans of Politics. If anything really annoyed you or got you thinking, all feedback is very welcome. I'm on Twitter as AB Philbin Bowman, at ABIEPB. You can hear every episode of the show for free. It's on the RT radio player or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Humans of Politics. Finally, if you'd like more people to hear this conversation, the simplest and cheapest thing you could do would be to leave us a nice review on iTunes or Spotify. Thanks again for listening.